So this is number four in the lung specialist series, and it's a stamina piece, 220 going up to 230, and then 3 minutes at 220 at the end. So carrying on from the last one, ready. Meanwhile, in every household, cleaning products, deodorants and scented candles are all playing their part in bringing down the air quality in our homes. It has been a constant battle for governments since the 1950s, when the notion that what we were emitting into the atmosphere was affecting our health first came to the forefront. Anyone who has seen the Pea Super episode of The Crown, or indeed recalls that dreadful week in London's history firsthand, will know that our attitude to air pollution changed forever after the Great Smog in 1952, when 10,000 people died as a direct result of the thick pollution which hung throughout the capital when cold, still weather trapped the smoke from coal fires across the city. The Clean Air Act followed in 1956, ruling that it would be illegal to burn wood in open fires, shifting domestic heat sources to cleaner alternatives like electricity, gas and cleaner coals, and vowing to relocate power stations away from cities. Since then, our relationship with pollution has been an evolving beast, with blame landing at the feet of governments, car companies, big industries and individuals alternately. The trouble is, Dr. Fuller says, that while the government has an important part to play in this, they tend to focus on one pollutant at a time and never quite go far enough. In the 1950s, we cleared up the coal fires, but we didn't pay attention to the transport. Traffic levels in London are decreasing. Diesel vehicles are getting progressively cleaner, thanks to progressively tighter standards. We've passed this concept of peak car. We've tidied up a lot of the things that come from industry, like insolvents. All the way through, we're narrowly focused on one source at a time. And yet around 4.5% of homes in London alone still burn wood. 68% do so illegally in open fires. Meanwhile, many areas of the city still endure up to twice the recommended limit of nitrogen dioxide from diesel cars and gas heating. One of the worst spots in further heartening news is where I get on and off the tube every day, while another is just outside the Telegraph's office in SW1. Couple that with the fact that notwithstanding a brief stint in the West Country for university, I have only ever lived in major cities, and I'm starting to get a little panicked. So why, 62 years after the Clean Air Act, do we still not have a handle on air pollution? When I started in this game, a lot of the particles you breathed in, if you looked at them chemically, they were sulfurous, explains Dr. Fuller, who works at King's College London. Now we find they're nitrogen-based from diesel emissions and from hydrogen and gas burning. If you'd asked a Londoner from the 50s what the chief pollutant was on their street, they would have pointed to the chimney pot. Now you'd point to the street. But while everybody has been focused on the terrible scourge of traffic and diesel, a fashion for home wood burning has crept under the radar. In grand designs, they go on a visit at the end 1 year on, and they've always got two things. One is a new baby they never had, and the other is a wood burner, jokes Dr. Fuller. It's being sold as climate neutral because it's a natural wood product, but it's a pollutant. We see a lot of wood burning pollution at this time of year in the run up to Christmas, when people have the family round and think we'll light a fire. Household products, meanwhile, have become one of the biggest areas of pollution concern. There have been some studies that say the biggest source of solvents that is now entering the air is in the products in our homes. It's not just things like paint, which you might use occasionally. It's all the personal care products, from cleaning to deodorants to room sprays. It's why, he says, the onus now needs to be on individuals to make changes. It's why my flat is reading so highly on the pollutant monitor. As well as living very near a main road, I have been burning scented candles, which have been slowly emitting harmful particles into the air. Particles are anything in the air within a certain size range, which when you breathe goes straight down into your lungs and isn't really stopped by your nose, he explains. At the moment, you've got your candles burning, so there will be a good deal of soot in here. You must find, if you keep candles over there on your mantelpiece, that when you wipe over your fireplace, that side is sooty. The Scandis must have a lot to answer for here. It's our pathetic attempt to be more haig, which has got us in this mess. At least the houseplants we're all filling our homes with are going some way to detoxifying the air. Though Dr. Fuller says even this is a bit of a fallacy. Trying to get pollution out of the air is like trying to take the milk out of a cup of tea. You're better off treating the thing itself. Exposure to these pollutants really shorten your life. That's the bottom line, says Dr. Fuller. People still die of everyday things, breathing problems, heart attacks, strokes. It's just that we get more people dying of them in polluted places. On that cheerful note, Dr. Fuller heads out into my polluted street, presumably breathing a sigh of relief he is no longer in my death trap of a home. I, meanwhile, blow out all the candles, open the windows, turn the heating off, and consider how on earth I can reverse 20 years of damage.